Good morning. My name is Henry Reed, and our reading for this morning comes from Philippians 2, 1 through 18. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Do not look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to give the place of the highest honor and give him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work has not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful servant is an offering to God, and I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, that was close. That was pretty close, wasn't it? Glad it wasn't me. Glad it wasn't our city. Glad it wasn't my community. This is probably not the attitude we should have, amen? The storm has hit. The storm has hit our neighbors, hit the state of Florida. What should our attitude be? What should our countenance be like, and how should we be treating others in this difficult time? Hey, yeah, you guys are ready. You guys are ready to go. Good, good. My name is Keith Arcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we're on our fourth week in our series, and actually it fits really well what's been going on in our country this week. We've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about circumstances. We've been talking about people. And we've been talking about how is our attitude rubbish to these things? Is the things that we see in front of us, we just treat them like trash? Are the people around us, the circumstances we're in, do we just think they're garbage? And this week, we're talking about attitude. Our attitude as people who are followers of Jesus, as people who have decided to follow Jesus and Jesus is dwelling in our hearts, what should our attitude be? And some of you are already shouting out already how we should be towards others. And what should our attitude be? Our attitude is shaped by the way we grew up. Our attitude is shaped by our parents, the necessary vessels that brought us into this world. Our attitude is shaped by the people we meet. Later, we choose people to be around so that our attitude is good, so that we have good attitudes on the outward side. Sometimes our circumstances, sometimes the people we are around kind of messes with our attitude a little. One of our congregation members, I was talking to him the other week, he said to me, he had a bit of a attitude. He was doing real well. He was living up in New Jersey. He was doing well in life. He was really successful in his career, in his job. Everything was going up and to the right, you know. I'm working. I'm receiving. He was doing so well. In fact, he was working with Fortune 500 companies and just working all hours God sent. And after a while, he realized this was having an effect on his mental state. This was having an effect on his emotions, and it was having an effect on his relationship with his wife. It was stressing him out. Finally, he turned to his wife and says, "Honey, I need an attitude adjustment. I need an attitude adjustment." And so they decided to pack up and move all the way to sunny Florida. He says, "In order for me to have an attitude adjustment, I needed a latitude adjustment." I know this week you've been watching the latitude and longitude of the little red thing on your screen, right? Maybe you had the TV on the whole time. Maybe you watched it on your phone too much, you know, as you watch the little thing. How fast is it going now, you know? And you watch a little red blob move north up through Cuba. By the way, Pastor Kathy has been in touch with our sister church in Cuba. Pastor Amado says he's fine and thanks you for his prayers. Yeah. Yeah, it hits all the way through there. And as it came out of Cuba, and as it came up north a bit more, and it started to increase and go faster, I wonder what your attitude was like. I wonder what was deep-seated in your gut. I was speaking to somebody on Friday when we were cleaning up around here, and she said, "Yeah, I can. When I think about the storm hitting Fort Myers, I could, my gut kind of tense." What was your attitude as you seen that track going straight towards Tampa Bay? The latitude of the hurricane definitely changed my attitude, amen? I was more prepared than I'd ever been. I'd borrowed a generator. I had a hurricane preparedness kit. Never before had I done that. I was like, this is it. It's going to hit. And yet we have the deep theological problem of the fact that we are happy. We have an attitude that we are happy and thankful that the hurricane didn't hit us, and yet it hit our friends, our neighbors, our family to the south of us, 100 miles away. What attitude should we have? Paul had a latitude adjustment. The Apostle Paul, who was responsible for communicating the gospel around the basin, around the Mediterranean basin, had many latitude adjustments. But the one he was at when he wrote this book, Philippians, where we're going through our series on rubbish, he was in Rome. He was in Rome, locked up, under house arrest, chained to another Roman guard, to a special ops guard. And he said here the kind of attitude we should have. Paul had the right to complain, "I'm locked up." But what did he say? And Henry read that really well for us, didn't he? He read that scripture verse really well. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you're clapping because he's preaching next week. Yeah. Someone said, woo. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. Let's go there if you're following along on your Bible app, or if you've got a book with some words in it, open it to Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 18. First thing Paul says in chapter 2 is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Don't forget where he is. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are you heart tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy. In other versions, make my joy complete by agreeing wholeheartedly with one another, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Three things. And I would argue that these three things are the most vital for us to feel loved today, for anybody, not just those who follow Christ. Here's the three things in the first verse: encouragement, comfort, and fellowship. Are there any among those things in your midst? He says, then make me truly happy. He says, because is there any fellowship in your hearts, and are they tender and compassionate? And we've talked before about what heart means. It means more like your soul and more like everything that's going on. But actually, the word here in the Greek that Paul says means intestines. Intestines. Are your intestines, are they twisting around? What is at the seat of your intestines? Is it encouragement? Is it comfort? Is it fellowship? They're rhetorical questions. He's not waiting for them to answer. He's writing a letter. If those things are there, he says, great, then make me happy by agreeing with one another. Love one another and work together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress other people. Impressing other people is exhausting, isn't it? I mean, I wouldn't know because I don't do it. Think of others as better than yourselves. And it's interesting when we actually are interested in other people's interests, our lives become more interesting. When we're interested in other people's interests and we think of other people's interests as more interesting than our own, we actually have a more interesting life. Don't just think of your own interests. Think of other people's interests. And these are just basic, standard things for our attitude. These are basic things that Paul is proponing and encouraging. Don't try to think of yourselves better. Don't be the smartest person in the room. Or don't even think you're the smartest person in the room, says Paul. What should our attitude be like? What should our attitude be like, Paul? And this is the scripture that we're all going to say together. This is the basis for today and tomorrow and for all the fallout from the hurricane for the next year or so. Let's say this together. Show verse 5 for me, please, Owen. Let's say this together. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. What is that attitude, Paul? What is the attitude that Christ had? Verse 6, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This period of text and a little bit after it is called the Christ hymn. Some people think that that the Philippians sang it together when they got together, like we sang hymns that we know well. They would sing this together. They called it the Christ hymn. And it defines some qualities, some orthodox qualities of who Jesus Christ is. He was God, but he didn't think of equality with God. He didn't pull the God card now and again. Well, I'm God. I'll do whatever I want. Though he was God, he didn't cling to it. Instead, he gave it up by becoming a slave and becoming a child, becoming born to a teenage woman and lived on the earth for 33 years. And then died on the death machine of the day, set up for the worst criminals ever. He became low. He had an attitude of servitude. He served his very people that he came, that people would pour out their pain on. He came to serve us and came to serve you. Of course, he died a criminal's death. And then the next part of the Christ hymn goes up. Therefore, because he was like this, because his attitude was like this, he was elevated to the place of highest honor, and God gave him the name above all of the names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Everyone in heaven, on the earth, to the glory of God the Father. So because Jesus' attitude was like this, because he was human, and because he took the form of a slave, his name was above all names. It's what we sing about when we gather together. Name above all names is the name that's higher than any name that you can give us. And we sing that, we preach that, we pray that, we're thankful for that. And God's name is lifted up. And here's the real reason he did that. And this should be our attitude. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is Christ. So, especially on World Communion Sunday, not just English people, not just American people, not just Polish people, not just French people, not Spanish people, but everybody. That everybody, and this should be our attitude. This should be the kind of face we're wearing, that I want you to know, the power and love and affection of Jesus Christ. In fact, I want you to know the comfort. I want you to know the encouragement. I want you to know the fellowship and belonging to Jesus Christ. You want that, amen? Oh, you know it. You all know it. You know the power of that. You know the power of coming together on the beach tonight. You know the power of gathering together next week on Friday to come together and to share that same fellowship. This is what propels us. It's not just a fun thing to do. We're propelled because of our love for Christ and to see that happen in other people. He says, at the name of Jesus, everyone, every knee will bow. Those in heaven, those on earth right now, those under heaven, creation, all of it will be restored when he comes on the last day. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a Charles Wesley hymn that you might sing, you might have sang growing up, that goes around in my head all the time. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And we want that. That's the attitude that we want. That's the thing that we want so much in our lives. That's seated in our intestines. He goes back to talk to the Philippians. And he says, verse 12, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you and giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. In other translations, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Here he says, work out the results of your salvation. That means we do all we can, possibly. We do all we can physically possible to work out how much God loves us, to work out through reading this thing, through being together in fellowship, for looking for comfort, for looking for encouragement, for looking for other people to get it too. We work it out with fear and just fear and trembling. And the word fear there is phobia. And it doesn't mean trembling that a storm is coming. It doesn't mean like scared that you're constantly watching every media update. It doesn't mean like you're so worried that it makes you sick and makes you want to go to the bathroom. It means with a deep reverence and fear, a deep reverence for and regard for who you are living for, who is at the very center of your gut. Live in fear. Live trembling. Live trembling. And I know, and I'm sure, I would have been trembling if Ian would have been at my door. And I know our brothers and sisters in the South were trembling when it hit there. But this is not the word for trembling for what is about to come before us. The word for trembling is tromos. It's not a trembling because of the storm. It's having a sincere loyalty to him that set you free. It's having a sincere loyalty to following Christ as your king. Fear and trembling. And he goes on to say, desire to please God. Desire to please God in all that you do. Don't desire to please men. Desire, he says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. If we desire to please men, generally, that doesn't turn out too well. When we desire to please people. And the irony is that when we desire to please God, when at the bottom of our desires is the bottom of our stomach is this desire to see encouragement and comfort and fellowship, then this is the kind of thing that comes out of us. And when we're pleasing God with these things, actually we're pleasing people. And people are led to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ because this is the kind of thing we're looking for. Desire to please God. And the last stuff is last verses. Do everything without complaining and arguing so no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share in that joy. Yes, you should rejoice. And I will share your joy. Paul is not talking about us complaining, even though we have the propensity to complain. Even though you might have complained this week. As you know, we don't really have a leg to stand on, so to speak, with regards to Ian, our brothers and sisters across the state have fared poorly. Paul's talking about Israel and its reputation for complaining. Israel was a complaining nation because when they got through the Red Sea on dry land, when they got out on the other side, they continued to complain as they walked around the desert. And Paul's saying, you don't have to live like that anymore. Don't complain and don't argue because something big has been given to you. Something enormous. Now the salvation is for everybody across the whole world. And all of you have access to this. Don't complain anymore. Don't be a complaining and arguing generation. Shine bright in and amongst a crooked generation, in and amongst things that are going on that we just don't understand. Shine brightly. How do we do this? How do we do this in our world today, especially after this week? I mean, it's easy for me to say, personally, that not to complain or not to argue or to be bitter about things. I didn't have my house swept away. many others have today, and they without a home. Some of our friends have not got homes to go back to, especially in the Cape Coral area and Fort Myers. People in this congregation, their sons and daughters are living in the south. One of our friends, he's in a school, he's assistant principal in the school, and he's working 12 hours on, 12 hours off at the school, providing shelter for those without homes. No electricity in the house. It's easy for me to say, don't complain and don't argue. We have ministers who have been huddled in the hallway waiting for the hurricane to pass, holding on to the children, hoping that their home stays still for some time. And I'm sure you all have friends and family who you've been praying for and hoping to provide. But before we do that, and we will, and I'll give you practical ways to do that, we must first focus on our attitude. Why do we do what we do? Here's the four things from today's scripture that I want to share with you. We're going to put these up on the screen for you. First thing is I want you to do is live in fear. Live in fear. Not fear of what's coming around the corner, not fear of hurricanes, not fear of fire, not fear of death. Live in fear of God. Live in fear, phobos, with a trembling, with a desire to please God. Live trembling, tromos. Live with a deep reverence for God. And out of everything that you do, is it down here that you're looking that other people might be encouraged? Are you looking that other people might feel comforted? Are you looking that other people would also experience the same kind of fellowship that you do? Yeah, desire to please. Don't desire to please me. Don't desire to please the church. Don't desire to please the person next to you today. Don't desire to please the person who says, well, we want you to do this, and then they feel good when you get it. Desire to please who? To please God. Please God with your actions. When you're looking for out for other people, please God. Shine. Shine brightly. Look for places to shine in your relationship with God. And you've got this understanding because you've been working out your salvation with fear and trembling that this just leads naturally to shining brightly in and amongst a crooked and perverse generation. He says, shine brightly so that others might be attracted to the gospel, that others might see the power of Christ at work within you. Show encouragement. Show fellowship. Show support. And one of the ways we are going to do that, and the experts have told me, and you have all been through this before, in fact, way before I got here, is when the hurricane hits, the first thing we must do is give. Give to organizations who are already on the ground. For us personally, it's for United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, Hurricane Relief. They're already down there. They need support. They need support. The first thing we need to do is give to hurricane organizations. You can do that today. Then the next thing is that we will send. So give and then send. We'll send supplies, sanitation supplies, water, and all those kind of things that people need, especially in the southwest of Florida. And then eventually, and you've all been down there before, sadly, we will go. We will go and help restore. It's going to take a long time, way more than 3 days after the event. It's going to take a long time to restore and rebuild our homes and communities in Florida, especially among those who are impoverished and without supply. So, first thing we can do is give to UMCOR and give to our missions department here in Palmer. We've already pledged missions support to United Methodist Committee on Relief. We will send items, and there's places to collect. In fact, today, our friend Jason in Dunedin, First Dunedin, he has a family down in Englewood that was hit poorly, and they're going down today. So if you can give water and supplies, they're collecting there to 3 o'clock today. And so that's down at First Dunedin, right in downtown Dunedin. That's where our friend Jason, not his family, is in Englewood. There's two things you can do. Give. There's a place for you to give on our website. Just click on Hurricane Relief and send. You can send some things down in First Dunedin today. But your attitude should be that of Jesus Christ when you're doing this. Your attitude should be that you would want to do this because you have a fear and trembling that you want other people to know encouragement, that you want other people to know the kind of fellowship you have, that you want other people to know comfort. And when your attitude is not rubbish and it's like Jesus Christ, other people come to know that same encouragement and that same support. Amen. On this very important Sunday, very fitting that we have communion together. Of course, today, all over the world, churches are having communion together. The same communion, they might do it a little differently, but they're all having communion together. And at this time, we will take communion together.
Christ, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let us take a moment of silent confession and prayer. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. And now may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you and broke his bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, pour it out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice across the whole world in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the entire world and strengthen it in every nation among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to ask the communion servers to come to the table, and we are going to do things a little differently this morning. We are going to be receiving communion through intinction. So as you come to the station, you will receive a piece of bread, and then you will dip it into the cup and eat from there. If you need gluten-free, or if you would prefer to have the individual communion cups, those are available at the station. Just let the servers know. If you are unable to come to the table, please raise your hand and the ushers will let us know, and we will bring the table to you.